Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Uh-huh. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name, King James Version, born in 1611. I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend. The quote was broke, but it ain't the way it's living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, open the Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to John.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't want to hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am. The saints' blood on their hands.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples I can still grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still
Yo,
dying.
Yo, I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails. Mortars the bomb. Seven plagues, seven seals. Soldiers the swarm. Rage in the field. Soldiers, storms. The currents, the horns. You've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets so my creator can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked that you was once sober, but you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, bro, there's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff Cincy. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't looking.
And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints, and the water's vital.
I'm the Bible. I'm the Bible.
I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible. I'm the Bible.
I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting there.
I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions, but if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
Shalom, Yasha Allah, and welcome to the show, man. Feels good. Feels good. I know it's been a long time. It's been a minute, man, since I... been on Blog Talk. You know how it goes, man. Life, captivity, the water mashallah. He let y'all know what was going on with me. I was, in fact, on the plantation, as we all are here in this captivity, in the year of our Lord, what is it, 2022, awaiting the return of our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahawashah, man, to get us out of this wicked, cruel, demonic, sadistic place. I'm your host for this evening, man, on prime time. I know this is something a little different for y'all, a little different for me, a little new for me. Well, not really, just ain't did it in a while. But I know y'all used to hearing Mashaba, but you got me this evening, and I want to jump right on into it, y'all. So the title of the show at the Waterman Shop. We were hooking it up. Matter of fact, before I get into the title, man, let me send shots out to our brothers here in San Antonio, man. Our brothers here in San Antonio, our brothers out in ABQ, Brother Ahmad, the crew, Mashaba's out there currently, Brother Yawanathon. Also sending shots out to our brother schools down at H-Town, Brother Kwatazak, Brother Locke Lob, down there doing big things. Also the brothers up in VA, Brother Kazakia, the crew, and Rochester, New York, Brother Zionala up there holding it down. Also want to send shouts out to Cobb Cobb down in Guatemala, and shouts out, y'all, to the 12 tribes worldwide, man. Shouts out. I know a lot of brothers and sisters are coming off of, either coming off of or coming up on the 50th day, that being also known in the Bible, in the New Testament, as Pentecost, which would be 50 days from 50 days from the last day of Feast of Unleavened Bread, I believe I'm correct. If I'm correct, yeah, 50 days from the last day of Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is actually seven Sabbaths, the scriptures tells us that. You can go and check that, Leviticus chapter 23, for your references. All right, y'all, with that said, with that out of the way, I want to get into my class this evening because, man, I am very disappointed, man, in our people. I'm very disappointed in our people and very upset, man, and bewildered by the ignorance of our people. And I'm talking Israel that know they Israel and Israel that don't know they Israel, man. Especially disappointed in the Israelites that know that they Israel, man. And the reason I'm disappointed in our people is because y'all are like knee-jerking and tear-jerking over this Uvalde thing, and y'all just in lost y'all mind. And I'm saying that because, don't get me wrong, I'm not being insensitive or cold-hearted at all. As a matter of fact, let's have a moment of silence for the people that we lost in Uvalde. Now, what I want to get into is the aftermath of it. And when I say the knee-jerk reaction, our people just flat out being emotional and being led by your emotions instead of the Bible, which if you're an Israelite, for any X amount of years or months, your foundation should be built on. Because remember what Yahweh Shah said, if you build your foundation on a stony ground, it's going to collapse. And I'm paraphrasing. So let's get into it, y'all. So the first verse I want to open up with is Ecclesiastes chapter 38, and we're going to start at verse 16. And it reads, "My son, let tears fall down over the dead, and began to lament as if thou hast suffered great harm thyself." So this is telling us that when we lose loved ones, when we lose people close to us or just people in general, it tells us we're supposed to mourn. When it says lament, it means mourn. You have to mourn. You have to get that out of your system and not hold on to it. Now, I know people mourn in different ways, and we shouldn't judge the way people mourn, okay? Everybody has a different way of grief, of mourning, but it's important to mourn, to get it out. I'm going to read it again. I'm in Ecclesiastes chapter 38 and verse 16, and this is in the Apocrypha, y'all, which is actually part of the King James Bible that was took out. So it says, "My son, let tears fall down over the dead and begin to lament as if thou hast suffered great on thyself." So it's telling you to mourn, and mourn as though it happened to you. And what this puts us in the mind frame of is is having consideration for other people. That's what it puts us in the mind frame at, of. So it says, as if thou hast suffered great harm thyself, and then cover his body according to the custom, and neglect not his burial. So according to our custom, we're supposed to be buried. We're not supposed to be burning each other and putting each other in urns and all this other nonsense. This is what the nations did. Quasizab did an excellent class over burial practices. We were not involved in cremation or none of any other nonsense, burning bodies and all the other crap. Now, I will say this, and you can do your own research. When a person died in a dishonorable type of way from some nonsense or some wickedness that they were doing, their body was sent to the dump. It wasn't even buried because what they did was a disgrace. So their body was sent to the dump. It wasn't even buried. But that's in a disgraceful situation. Hold on for a second, though. If you died an honorable death or what have you, then you had to be buried. This was part of our custom. That's why it says, and then cover his body according to the custom, and neglect not his burial. So don't neglect someone's burial, man. It's important to get them in the ground, to get them buried. Now, unlike this day and age where, man, it's like you got to jump through hell and high water just to get somebody buried. I mean, it's really a chore to plan for somebody's death, somebody's funeral. Speaking from experience as one that has just gone through with the loss of my stepson, dude, it's no walk in the park, man. It's work. And I would like to take the opportunity again to thank all, say the water, which means thank you in Hebrew, to all that came to me and my family's aid in our time of need. Because like I say, man, that is not an easy task. So I'm going to read on in Ecclesiastes chapter 30, verse 17. It says, weep bitterly and make great moan and use lamentation as he is worthy, and that a day or two, lest thou be evil spoken of, and then comfort thyself for thy heaviness. So the reason I'm pulling this scripture is because for those brothers and sisters, those children that lost their lives out there in Uvalde, man, we're mourning for y'all. We're mourning for your family. We feel y'all pain. It's sad. It's disgraceful that this would even happen. But at the same time, y'all, it's like DJ Khaled, another. This is another mass shooting. It's like we got one every other week. It's crazy. But anyway, let me continue with this point. So it talks about, it says, as he is worthy, and that a day or two, lest thou be evil spoken of. So moan, get it out, cry. It says, then comfort thyself for thy heaviness. The reason it's telling you to comfort yourself with heaviness is because a lot of people will take heaviness and they will just dwell on it. Because look, they say it's, I forgot, how many stages of grief did they say it is? Do you remember? So there are several stages of grief, y'all. I forget the number. But they say you have to go through each stage. And I've seen this with my own eyes. That is true. It's not necessarily biblical, the grieving process. If you don't go through those stages, you're just prolonging your comfort. That's why it says to comfort yourself. Now, when it says to comfort yourself, it's five stages of grief, the what? When it talks about comforting yourself, the Bible is the comforter. I hope y'all know that. So it ain't talking about dive deep into that bottle. Dive deep into some addiction that you've been exempt from X amount of years, and the loss of a loved one made you backslide and go back to where you're getting high again. It's not talking about that. It's not talking about firing up the squares that you quit when you came into the truth, the Lucy's, the Cigarellos, the Black and White. It ain't talking about that, comforting yourself that way. The Bible is, in fact, the comforter. St. John chapter 14, verse 26. St. John chapter 15, verse 26. Just for your references, we ain't going to go there, but make a side note of that. The words of the Most High is truly the comforter. This is how we really comfort ourselves. It says, cover thyself for thy heaviness. Heaviness. Why would somebody be heavy? Because the loss of a loved one weighs heavy on your spirit. The Bible acknowledges that. The Most High acknowledges that. We should acknowledge that. Now, listen to this. Ecclesiastes chapter 38, verse 18. For of heaviness cometh death. This is why you're not supposed to prolong your grief. Because what's going to happen? It's going to bring about your demise. It's going to bring about your death. You ever heard of an old couple that's been together for forever, like 50 years, 60 years, whatever, and the wife will lose the husband or the husband will lose the wife, and they lost their companion, and they just caught up in grief, they're surrounded with the grief, and they never recover, and then pretty soon they die. And then be like, well, he died of natural causes. He had no pre-existing health conditions, no long-term health conditions, and people say what? Well, they died of a broken heart. That's real, y'all. And the heart referring to the mind. Your mind is really be broken after you spend that much time with somebody, invest that much time in somebody, love somebody for that long, and then you lose them. Yes, it weighs on your mind very heavy. If you don't grieve and get it out and get all of that out in a time frame, I'm not talking about prolonging that grief forever and forever and forever. Because remember, the Most High said this, y'all. He said that God is the God of the living, not of the dead. He said that for a reason. The dead don't need us. They're back with the Most High. I'm going to read that in a second. We're going to get to that. The dead don't need our assistance, y'all. We're not doing them any good by mourning and extended tears of mourning to where we don't want to get up. We go through a depression. We don't want to see nobody. We isolate ourselves. Now we just left alone in our house in the dark, staring at the four corners of the wall, left with our thoughts and memories of the person. Think about it, y'all. Would the person really want you to be going through what you're going through? The person that you lost, the loved one that you lost, would want you to be happy. They would want you to be living your life. Think about all the memories you have of the person. They always had your best interest in mind for the times that they bought you flowers, for the times that they called and checked up on you, for the times that they paid your cell phone bill, for the times that they bought you a gift for whatever reason, appreciation moments that they shared or y'all shared together while they were alive that made you happy. They did it to make you happy. But now they're gone, and now you're just in a slump. You just can't get over the fact that they're gone. Now, and that's why I started at the beginning, where it talks about let tears fall down on the dead, and it talks about mourning. You're supposed to go through that process. But in these same set of precepts I'm reading, it tells you that you shouldn't prolong your grief. And why does it say that? Let me read this again. And this is the Bible talking about, y'all. This is not me. So if you're upset and you feel in some kind of way, you're upset with the Most High. So Ecclesiastes chapter 38, verse 18 reads, for of heaviness cometh death, and the heaviness of the heart, meaning the mind, breaketh strength. So you, with that heavy mind, that prolonged mourning, is going to break your mind and it's going to break your strength. To where now you don't even have the will to live no more. Man, I don't even want to get up in the morning. Man, I don't even know what my focus is now. Now you're starting to question, hey, my life, what is my life about? Why am I here? Now everything's becoming meaningless to you. Because why? You holding on to that prolonged period of grieving. Get it out your system and move on. That's what the Most High is saying. That's what the Bible says. If you believe in the Bible, if you call yourself an Israelite, you got to believe these words. If you're calling yourself a Christian even, you got to believe the words that the Bible says, not your emotions and not your opinion. So the Most High has, and there's many more scriptures about grieving, y'all. I'm not going to get to all of them, but I want to start with this to show that, yes, we're supposed to grieve for somebody else's loss. And I also want to get this one right here. This is Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 32. And it reads, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth." This is the Most High speaking. He said he doesn't have pleasure in death. He does not have pleasure in people dying, y'all. And then from, I talked to Michelle, but he told me all the hate and all the gang saying he got over him covering this Uvalde thing. And I'm like, really scratching my head, like, man, people just don't get it. Especially Israelites hitting them up. Israelites who claim to believe in the Bible. The Most High said he does not have pleasure in death. We don't either. We don't eat. We are caring individuals. We have families. We have loved ones that we've lost. Hell, my brother Ashar, rest his soul. How hard did that hit us? No, we ain't jumping up and down and celebrating people's death, people's loss. No, we not. But we're being wise about the situation also. So reading this again, it says, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, said the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye." The Most High said, hey, man, and we're going to get to that. We know that the Most High, he's the king of terrors, and he does kill. We're definitely going to get to that. He kills people. The Most High causes death. He didn't invent it. He didn't create it. But he does it. He has death angels. That Grim Reaper scenario that's been in movies and cartoons, that's real, y'all. Now, as far as the imagery, I don't know about all that. But I know that death angels are real. We're going to definitely get to that. But the Most High said he does not have pleasure in death. He says, wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. The Most High wants us to turn from our wickedness, from the things that we do wrong, so we can live right. Now watch this. This is Job chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, remember, I pray thee, whoever perished, listen to this, y'all, whoever perished, being innocent, soak in. What it's saying is whoever died, y'all, that was innocent, everybody thinks they're the victim. No. Matter of fact, let me get this real quick. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 1. And it reads, do no evil, so shall no harm come unto thee. How are we forgetting this, y'all? This is what the Bible says. The Bible said, don't do anything that's evil. And you ain't got to worry about no harm coming to you. And you see people all the time, man, especially in Texas, got to have the strap on them. Got to have the toolie. Got to have the hammer. Got to have the whistle. Got to have the thumper. Man, I'm taking it just in case. Dude, if you were living righteously, you wouldn't have to be so damn paranoid. And it gets me, man, boggles my mind how people that call themselves God-fearing are so damn paranoid and scared of everything. Oh, just in case. Just in case. I guess you're doing some evil then, because your ass is fearing harm. It says, do no evil, so shall no harm come unto thee. If your hands are clean, you got nothing to worry about. The Most High got you. He's going to protect you, because like he got death angels, he also has angels that protect you. There's a scripture. Oh, man. It says, angels compass me. All of us have, I ain't trying to go too deep, y'all, but all of us have angels that protect us from certain things, y'all. Crazy, too, because you might actually want to do these things, and you really trying hard to do these things that are just wicked, off, against the Most High. I mean, you try your damnedest to do it. And it's like you just keep getting rejected and you can't do it. You can't achieve it. Why? Because the Most High got those angels protecting you from you. So those angels are working. When we ain't working for the Most High, they still working for the Most High. But the Most High said, whoever perish being innocent is letting you know, man, there is no such thing as an innocent bystander, as an innocent victim. Now, I did a whole series, 7 points, I believe, on the process of reincarnation, y'all. So spirits come back or reincarnated. It's all through the book. It's all through the Bible. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because we don't know what those spirits done that were in Uvalde. We don't know what they did. We don't know what any loved one that we've lost did that died violently from acts of violence. We don't know. The Most High does. And hell, some of us do know what they did. That's why the scripture says, and I'm kind of jumping the gun, but remember the scripture says, what a man sows shall also reap, which means what? Whatever you're putting out, it's coming back around to you, sir, ma'am. How is it we forget this? How is it that we just forget everything that the Bible teaches us just because we emotional, man? And I can speak to this. I've been through it. I've been through more than enough damn funerals. So it ain't just me, you don't understand. You can't comprehend. You don't know what those people are going through. Yes, I do. I've lost my nephew to not gun violence. He died by a knife. He was stabbed in the dead center of his chest, in his heart. And he died a very tragic, brutal death in his own house, mind you, by somebody that he knew. Tragic as hell. My sister died in a tornado, a natural act of violence. My stepson was just murdered with a gun. So don't come to me with that nonsense about Tyler Pye. You don't know what those people are going through. You damn right I do. I know what it's like to lose a loved one to violence. So I'm not just sitting up here bumping my gums and giving you scriptures that I don't believe in, because it's these very same scriptures that I'm going over tonight that's helped me, keep my mentals, that's helped me keep my wits. And if you're calling yourself an Israelite, these are the very same scriptures you should be holding on to right now. Job chapter 4, verse 7. Reading it again. It says, remember, I pray thee, whoever perished, so whoever died, being innocent, listen to this, or where were the righteous cut off? Meaning, like I read in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1, do no evil, so shall no harm come unto thee. If you're righteous with the Most High, you ain't got to worry about this type of stuff. You got to be paranoid. You ain't got to have your strap on you. You got to have the steel with you, the whistle with you, the peacemaker. You ain't got to have that with you. Now, like I said, I did a whole 7-point series on death. You can go and check it out in its entirety. I'm going to cover some of those same scriptures. So what happens when you die? Ecclesiastes, let me slow down. Matter of fact, y'all, let me take a break real quick. Nature is calling. I'll be right back, y'all. Give me just a second.
Sirens and semis pop. Judah keep vexing Ephraim. When will the envy stop? No love for any cops. That's what got Kenny shot. Y'all drinking Henny shots. I'm investing in penny stocks. They give me props.
scrapping, teeth and debating, unity while Satan trying to weaken the nation. Cops in my community kill us with every opportunity. No justice or peace, the police get immunity. Look, rubber bullets and riot suits when they gear up, asking where the love went, cause judgment is near us. And kids rather pour up a foe and sip the syrup than learn about how the black Moors ruled in Europe. We divided by economic material schism. My people are serial victims of imperialism. I tell the truth in the booth, boy, my pen no lie. They love the Hebrew Israelites after N-O-I. Let's pray. I pray. Abba, Abba, Yahweh, rise. I pray for your grace and everything that you shall provide. I pray every day that you teach me how to strive to put my trust in you, because in you is where the power lies. My people are dead and pumped with formaldehyde. I pray every day no excuses or alibis. I pray that every last one of these cowards die. I pray all of this in the name of Yahweh Shai. Can't feed the flesh, don't need the stress, so I fast and I rest instead. Cold sweats in the bath, trying to grasp as I sat in bed. In my dream I had a twin, he stabbed me to death and fled. Visions of a pale horse and a dragon with seven heads. Vagabond Babylon being watched by the Lord. Can't he...
All right, y'all, I'm back. Okay, so what happens when you die? Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7 reads, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. Now remember in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says that, and God formed man from the dust of the ground. So we're all made from dirt. We're all made from dirt. So once we die, like it's telling us in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, the dust, our skin, decomposes and it goes back to the earth as it was. It says, I'm sorry, it goes back to the earth as it was. Now, the process of death, we used to have caskets that were made of wood. Wood is something organic or natural, which goes back to the earth, which comes from the earth. This is the cycle of things that's covered in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and chapter 2 also. It tells us everything's on a cycle, including life, including death. So it's only natural or a part of the cycle that our body decomposes and goes back to the dirt from which it was made. It says, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave. So where's the spirit go? It goes back to the Most High, because after all, who put the spirit in us? He did. So that cycle, those spirits go back to the Most High. So where are those children's spirits now resting at? And resting with. They're resting back again with the Most High. That's why they have their what? R.I.P. Rest in peace. That's what it means. You're resting in peace with the Father. Job says, there the wicked cease from troubling. Meaning what? You ain't got to worry about somebody bothering you no more. You ain't got to worry about the haters. You ain't got to worry about, especially for those kids, you got to worry about being called spick no more. You ain't got to worry about being discriminated against no more. You ain't got to worry about being treated like a second-class citizen in your own, on your own land. You're probably part of Texas, right? Remember Texas, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, Utah. Arizona was all stolen from the so-called Mexicans. And now they're being called illegal on their own land. Oh, you think I'm exaggerating? Why don't you go down and ask those brothers and sisters, those are kids also on down on the borders of Texas, the migrants they call them, that migrated from Central and South America and Mexico to get up here. Ask them how they feel being treated like not even human on their own land that was stolen from them. Ask them how they feel trying to have what this country says in their constitution, that's for them, by the way, life, liberty, and the happiness pursuit. They got to go to a whole nother country because these very same people, these hypocrites who supposedly offer freedom to every nation they go around trying to save, has went down there and colonialized their country, and suck them out of their natural resources and destabilize their government. Hell, you don't believe me? I was listening to NPR. They said that America has not been to the Summit of Americas, I think it's called, of the Americas. So they're having a summit of the Americas, Central, South, and North America. America has not been for the last 30 years. And the president of Mexico said that he ain't showing up. And he ain't showing up because America and the rest of that little committee, they won't recognize certain Latin countries like Venezuela. They won't recognize certain Latin countries. I forget what other country it was. But I know Venezuela was one of them. Why? Because Venezuela wants their own sovereignty, and they don't want to be exploited for their damn natural resources, and they won't let America put a puppet in office who they can control that's not going to benefit the people. So, the Big Brother, Mr. Savior, Mr. Hero and Villain, all in the same damn movie, ain't been to this conference in 30 years and has the audacity to talk about other nations, how other nations are terrorists, how other nations are oppressive to people. When you got the longest damn track record for oppression, you've oppressed every place you've been and colonized. But you got the audacity to speak against other people. You got the audacity to talk about Vladimir. When your ass killed the natives in the billions and still on their land right now this very day and calling them illegals. Anyway, let me get back on topic. Job 14 and 12. So man lied down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. So this is the process of dying. When he says that man lied down, it goes right along with what we just read in Ecclesiastes about how when you lie down, your body decomposes. That's what it's talking about. He rises not. So their body does not rise again. It says, till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. No, you ain't. You're dead. Your body's decomposing. Your spirit's going back to the Most High where it's going to be sleep. Verse 13, it says, oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave. So this is Job talking. Why would somebody need to be hid in the grave? Listen to this. That thou would keep me secret until thy wrath be past. What is Job talking about? How is the Most High going to execute wrath when you sleep? Your spirit is asleep. How are you going to execute wrath? So it has to be reincarnation. Listen to this. He says, until thy wrath be past, that thou would appoint me a set time. What set time? He says, and remember me. Remember what? Remember what? Oh, I need to send this spirit back. Oh, you know what? When this spirit was on the earth before, this spirit was reckless. This spirit was wicked. This spirit was doing everything against me. Listen to this, verse 14. If a man die, shall he live again? Question. All the days of my appointed time will I wait, listen to this, y'all, till my change come. What change? The process of a new body being created and that old spirit being put in that new body, that recycled spirit coming back in that new body. Verse 15, thou shalt call. This is the Most High calling on that spirit. It says, and I will answer thee. Thou will have a desire to the work of thy hand. Meaning the Most High going to have a specific job for that spirit to go back. Verse 16, but now thou numbered my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sins? Come on, wait a minute. Hold up, wait a minute. Now remember, Job is saying all of this from a sleeping position. He's explaining death unto, to us. He explained somebody being asleep back with the Most High. So how somebody sleep back with the Most High sinning and breaking God's laws? Unless you come back in a new body, but that same old recycled spirit. And you, your sins get remembered from a previous life. And you hear us talk about this loosely. Oh, somebody, you must have been a so-and-so, so-and-so in your previous life. Oh, you must have been here. You've been here before. We said it all the time about kids, right? But that boy been here before. That girl been here before. What does that mean, y'all? That spirit has been here before. Guess what? You right. The Bible's telling you that you're right. We'll read again, verse 16. It says, for now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up my iniquity. Meaning the Most High has not forgot about the things that you did, that spirit did when it was here once before. And guess what? You don't have to pay for that. You're not getting away scot clean. You ain't getting away. There's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. The Most High created you. He has the power to destroy you also. I'm saying this to give us a better perspective when something like this happens, y'all. Even when something happens to you, it should be a check and balance system that you run through. Like, what have I been doing? Have I been offending the Most High? Have I been being wicked? When something happens to you, you lose a job, you get in a car accident, you get a speeding ticket, you stub your toe real bad, and you got to have surgery on your toe because you stubbed it against the bedpost. Or some strange calamity just happened to you from out of nowhere. It ain't happened to nobody else. You should be running yourself through the check and balance system like, man, what if I did to piss the Most High off? That's why the scripture talked about what? Walking circumspectly. That's what it means to walk circumspect. Let me make sure. Let me be careful. Because circumspect means to walk carefully. Let me be careful I'm not offending the Most High. We should be running ourselves down that checklist. Not alone to what when we see things happen to other people, we should be saying, oh, man, I wonder what they did. I wonder what they did to have the Most High be as vengeful as he was to those people. These are the things we're supposed to be asking ourselves, man. And once again, I ain't just pulling it out of my tail. I'm speaking from experience. For y'all that know me, y'all know I have a special needs daughter. When it was announced, when the doctors told us that our daughter was going to be born this way, I prayed, I fasted, I asked the Most High for forgiveness. I had to check myself out to see what I was doing wrong. Like, man, what am I doing wrong? Where am I messing up at? When my child was born, I asked myself the same questions and got to the point to where I was like, man, well, maybe it's not something I did. Maybe it's something my baby did in a previous life. Maybe it's something that little spirit did in a previous life. To the why now the Most High sent her back to where she got to live like this. I've had and still do, as a matter of fact. I'm speaking this from experience. Was it difficult for me to think that way? Was it hard for me to think that way? Yeah, it was. Because we always want to feel like we're the victim, y'all. We always want to be the victim. When that is not the case. When my cousin was murdered, he died by gun violence also, by the way. I had to go back for the funeral. Man, we was tight. We spent so much time together. So we went to high school together, graduated same high school. Sean was a year behind me. He was probably a year younger than me. Well, my cousin, he was gangbanging when we was teenagers. He was heavy into it. He was in the street. I was in the street a little bit, but not like he was. Anyway, he was still gangbanging in his 40s, y'all. And he got caught up gangbanging, and he was murdered. His sister was with him. I mean, right with him. But she ran when she saw the guys, and they just unloaded. My cousin was murdered. She got out of there. The Most High spared her life. So when I got the news that he was murdered, the first question I asked was, what was he doing? This is me. I think Dave Chappelle said it best, and I think maybe I am, man. I don't know. Dave Chappelle was talking about people said that he's a victim blamer. I guess I'm a victim blamer too, man, because when something happens to somebody, the first question I ask, before I go woo, 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 feel sorry and bad for them, is what were they doing? And sure enough, they told me it was some gang stuff. And I'm like, I want to be surprised. I mean, but nigga, you gangbanging. What happens when somebody gangbangs? They probably going to get shot or go to prison for shooting somebody. I mean, come on, y'all. This is not rocket science. But I'm saying all this to say that we always look at the effects and we never look at the cause, y'all. The scripture already told us, whoever perishes being innocent. We don't know what those spirits done to deserve such a horrifying death. But we know through the Bible that they did something, or maybe it was this. Let me read St. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. So he saw a particular person that had been blind. He never had the gift of sight, blind from his birth. Like Stevie Wonder, never saw the sun, never seen the moon, never seen stars, birds, and the beautiful creations that the Most High made. Sad, right? There's a blind person in the scripture. It says, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? They asked him, what? Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Whoa, 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 whoa. Did the disciples start crying because they seen this blind man? Did they say, oh, man, poor blind man, he never seen the beautiful creations of the Most High. I feel so sorry for him. What was the first question they asked? Man, who sinned that the Most High would do such a thing to him? This dude has never seen the sunset. They asked, did this man sin? Maybe it was his parents, and he's paying for their sin. Now, according to Ezekiel chapter 18, we don't pay for our parents' sins. Every man is responsible for his own sin. I covered that also in the reincarnation class. But the disciples, they understood reincarnation, and they understood that you could be punished for the stuff you did in the previous life. That's why they asked, who did sin? Was it something his man did? Or maybe it was something his parents did that he's paying for it now, that why? He was born blind. Now listen to this. Jesus, or Yahushua, answered, neither. He said, it wasn't him, and it wasn't his parents. He said, neither had this man sinned, nor his parents. Now listen to this. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Y'all don't think I've been over this scripture 1,000 times as it pertains to my youngest daughter? I'm like, man, maybe the Most High made her like this. Maybe she was born like this, missing the middle part of her brain, so the works of the Most High could be manifest. So maybe one day he'll heal her. Maybe the Most High is going to work through me to heal my daughter. These are the things that goes through my mind. Or maybe it's going to work through somebody else to heal her. I don't know. But if scriptures like this, that keeps me hopeful, that gives me a better understanding of, man, I've been thinking it was me. Maybe it wasn't me. Or I was thinking it was my wife. Maybe it wasn't her. I mean, I was thinking maybe it was something my daughter did in the previous life. Maybe it wasn't her. These are the possibilities that it could be, but at least I'm not hopeless. At least I'm not hopeless without a damn clue. Because what kills anybody more than not knowing? What? That kills everybody. I don't know. We don't know. What happened? I don't know. And everybody's trying to find out what happened, right? Hell, there's still an investigation in Uvalde. I'm going to get to that in a second, y'all. Because they still don't know a lot of the questions that they have concerning that issue, or answers to questions they have concerning that issue. They still don't know. But I'm bringing this out to show us that maybe it was something that they did wrong in a previous life, or maybe the Most High has a purpose for all of this happening right now. Maybe he's trying to wake Israel up and give Israel attention, because we walk around here sleepwalking. Hell, they just had, what, midterm elections? And you know what? And brown people are still running to the polls, trying to vote. Shame on y'all. What the hell is wrong with y'all people, man? How long we been in this country, in this captivity, and been going to the polls to vote, and nothing's changed? And then you say you believe in Yahweh Shai. You say you believe in Yahweh. You say you believe in God and Jesus Christ, but you at the damn polls hopeful that your candidate is going to change things for you. Somebody tell me when in the Bible that Christ formed a political party and said, hey, vote for me and not the other guy. Tell me anywhere in the scriptures. Show me anywhere in the scriptures where the Most High said, you know what? You should go out and vote. You should be a Democrat, a Republican, independent, a damn Tea Party or whatever here. Show me that scripture, please. I'll wait. Still waiting. You're not going to find it, y'all. It doesn't exist. The Most High says serve him only. He's our power. He's our strength. He's the one that's supposed to make decisions regarding our lives. See, what y'all don't get is that this is truly captivity. When you have to go to someone else to get permission to do something regarding your household, that's captivity. When you have to go to somebody and get permission to live the rest of your life and grow old and raise kids with a young lady that you think is suitable for the job, when you have to go get somebody else permission to do that, that's captivity, y'all. When you got to walk around with IDs and birth certificates to identify yourself, that's captivity, y'all. When you have to have your tax ID number, which is your Social Security number, by the way, that's captivity. Go back and read the Gospels at least, y'all. I mean, only people. What did Yahweh Shai tell those people that came to him that said, shall we pay, is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar? And who is, when they say Caesar, who is they talking about? One of the Roman Caesars at the time, I forgot which one it was, but it was one of them clowns, one of them wicked people, which also this day and age would be known as a president, El Presidente. What did Christ tell them? He asked, he said, whose face is on the money? And they said, Caesar. And what did Yahweh Shai tell them? He said, render unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, but the things that be God's, render to him. Meaning what? Give them their money. They face on it anyway. Everything that's got to do with them, their government, the way they run their society, that's their business. Let them do that. But don't you compromise yourself, because your spirit belongs to Yahweh Shai, to Jesus Christ, to Christ. Because remember, the scripture says you were bought with a price. I'm talking for us Israelites who Christ died for. You have a bounty on your head. You have payment that you can never repay, because an innocent man had to lose his life so you can be forgiven for breaking God's laws. Not so you can keep breaking them, but so you can come back and do them now, because that's what Christ died for. So that you can stop breaking the law, you can be forgiven and not have to die for breaking the law as you once was in debt to by the law of Moses. So the law is still in effect. You just don't have to die no more for breaking it. The Most High, Yahweh Shai, Jesus Christ. Let me slow down. Let me speak this in English so everybody understands. Jesus Christ of the Bible, not your Jesus, the Jesus Christ of the Bible, was never part of any political sect. He was not part of the democratic process. You can find it nowhere in the scriptures where he started a political party and told Israelites, black and brown people, to go out and vote. But you say you're a Christian, which means to be a follower of Christ. If you're following Christ, you got to do stuff that he did now. Watch out now. You got to do the stuff that he did. Did Christ vote? So why is y'all voting? Getting back to my point, every spirit is reincarnated. Some spirits are brutally, savagely killed, wounded, or what have you, for things that they did in a previous life. Other spirits, some bad might happen to them because it's the work of the Most High. We just don't know. Now, this is Colossians 3 and 25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong for which he had done, and there is no respect of persons. So if you did something wrong in a previous life, in this life, hell, you're going to get paid back for it. When it says there's no respect of person, meaning you could be an infant, you can be a child, you can be a crook, can be a woman, you can be a man. The Most High does not care. He does not care. Come on, he punished his own son. Yes, Yahweh Shai, Jesus Christ, he punished his own son. He says there's no respect of person. Now, like I said, y'all, a spirit can be punished for something they did previously, or it could just be the work of the Most High. And we have to wait and see why the Most High did something. Isaiah 55 and 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. So the Most High does have mercy. Listen to this. And to our power, or our God. For he will abundantly pardon. So the Most High does pardon people. He does. Yes, he kills people, but he also pardons people. He does have mercy. He's had mercy on us. Because honestly, man, there is no way. There's no way. All the things that we've done to each other and against the Most High, that the Most High should still call us his people. We are a hateful, cold-hearted, wicked bunch of people, man. We hate each other. We really do. The only reason, Rakatai, hey baby, the only reason the Most High is still calling us his people and going to save us out of this last captivity is because he gave his word. He don't get no deeper than that. He like, y'all ain't going to make a fool out of me. I gave my word. That's why it tells you in Jeremiah chapter 31, one of my favorite chapters, that he's going to give us a new heart. And he said, y'all going to be my people, and I'm going to be your guy. The new heart is a new mind. It means a new way of thinking where we're going to not be predisposed to do wickedness anymore. We're just going to know righteousness. That's it. The Most High gave his word. That's the only reason he still has mercy on us. Now listen to this. This part I want to get to, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Do y'all hear that? The way you think is not the way the Most High thinks. Stop thinking that your thoughts and the Most High's thoughts are one and the same. This is why you need to be comparing your thoughts with the Bible. So my thoughts is telling me to do this, but what does the Bible say about me doing this? That's the way your mind should be working. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. So when the Most High say his thoughts ain't our thoughts, his emotions ain't our emotions. We getting all emotional all of a sudden. Is the Most High emotional about it? No. He said his ways ain't like our ways. He don't think like us. We don't think like him. That's why he had to give us a whole book to show us how he thinks. He gave us, hey, what to eat? Don't eat that. Eat this. Hey, you can't sleep with your brother's woman. You know that, right? Hey, you can't want to put your rod in another man's rectum if you're a dude. No. If you're a woman, hey, you can't want to munch on this woman. You can't want to munch on her carpet. And y'all do each other with straps and dildos and all that other crap. No. That's the Most High's mind. But our mind be telling us what? Hey, you only live once. Hey, love is love. No. And the scripture says that the law is made for the lawless. Us in our natural state, like the scriptures tells us, Ecclesiastes 3:19, that we're a beast. We really are a beast. Michelle just covered that. And a brilliant class he put together, by the way. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Come on, y'all. The Most High said his thoughts and his way of doing things is higher than ours. It's on a higher level. Our thoughts is child play compared to the Most High. Now, I definitely want to get this, y'all. Listen to this. Because when I heard about, matter of fact, which one I want to get first? Let me get this. So this is from TPR Radio, so Texas Public Radio. If they do a segment called Texas Matters. Now, this is the headline. It says, is there a cover-up in Uvalde? Y'all hear that? Is there a cover? And I know y'all been hearing this, man. News reporters are still there. As a matter of fact, Congress is having a session right now, I believe, that's been filibustered by the Republicans. They're the same damn people. And it's crazy, too, man, because you get so many so-called Mexicans. We know them as the tribe of Issachar. Now they're going out. They're going to vote Republican. And a lot of Judites, too, so-called black people, voting for Republicans. And I'm not telling you to vote for either side because you should believe in the Bible and your house shy, and the Most High. Those are your presidents. That's who should be your president and vice president, the Most High Yahweh Shah, the God of the Bible, and the Jesus Christ of the Bible. That's who you're supposed to be voting for. Matter of fact, I'm going to have to make a shirt. Say, I voted for the Most High. I voted for Yahweh. Wear it on election day. So anyway, this article says, Texas Matters, is there a cover-up in Uvalde? The Texas Department of Public Safety is no longer investigating what happened with the mass shooting in Uvalde. What? Didn't the shooting just happen like, what, 2 weeks ago? And they are not going to investigate anymore? So Public Safety and Transportation is no longer investigating. Now listen to this. The investigation has been handed over to the Uvalde County District Attorney, Christina Busby, according to Texas State Senator Ronald Gutierrez. I hope I'm saying this right. Gutierrez. Speaking TPR's Texas Matters, Gutierrez said Busby is conducting a criminal investigation into the school shooting, the lives of 19 children and two adults, and she is not planning on sharing her findings with the public. Did y'all hear that? She's investigating, and so it's an in-house, basically an in-house investigation, and they ain't going to share their findings with the public. So y'all ain't going to know what happened. Ain't that something? And that's like that's why I said that in that scripture I got that our mind is not the Most High's mind, because maybe, just maybe, the Most High had this atrocity happen, so it's like, you know, shaking somebody. When somebody sleep, you shake the hell out of them to wake them up, right? So maybe the Most High had this happen to shake the hell out of Issachar to wake them up so they can see who their real enemy is, and they can see that they still behind them enemy lines right now. While they trying to just got drunk, what, last month, celebrating Cinco de Mayo. Somebody please tell me what the hell that's the celebration of, because they lost the damn war. While y'all was damn painting Easter eggs and cracking them up over each other's head back in April. You don't think the Most High see this nonsense? Trying to wake you up out of sleep. Anyway, back to the article. She is not planning to sharing her findings with the public. The district attorney has told DPS that they're not to issue any more reports and that the investigation is being taken over by her office. So they ain't issuing no more reports. Department of Public Transportation, no more reports on the shooting. That said, I'm not really interested, and this is a quote, I'm not really interested in criminality. This is what she said. I'm interested in the procedural, systematic human failures that occurred by law enforcement in that hallway, Gutierrez said. Well, guess what? Oh, I'm sorry. This is what Gutierrez said, and he wants to get to the bottom of it. But this lady, what's the lady's name again? Christina Busby is trying to keep it on the low. Gutierrez is blowing it up like, hey, y'all don't talk about it. We want to know. He says, he added that treating the Uvalde school shooting as an ongoing criminal investigation could allow the use of the controversial dead suspect loophole, which exempts law enforcement from public records requests. Let me read that again. He added that treating the Uvalde school shooting as an ongoing criminal investigation could allow the use of the controversial dead suspect loophole, which exempts law enforcement from public record requests, meaning all the incompetent or so believed to be incompetent people that waited after they heard all those gunshots and went in and they was Johnny come lately on the spot, they're not going to be held accountable for any of that. Reading on, there is a lot of confusion about what happened in Uvalde on May 24th. We do know that an 18-year-old entered Robb Elementary and fatally shot 19 students and two teachers. And earlier in that day, he shot and severely wounded his grandmother. He stole her pickup truck, crashed it into a ditch next to the school. While still outside, he fired an AR-15 style rifle for approximately 5 minutes into the school. While he was outside, he was shooting into the school. Nobody saw this, y'all? Nobody heard. You hear gun. You know a gunshot when you hear. Hell, y'all be jumping when y'all hear cars backfire. But nobody heard a rifle go off for 5 minutes into the school. So before he even got in the school, he was shooting at the school. Look, y'all, I'm 50 in September. I'm old enough to remember when I went to school, they would have police or security guards at the school armed. I don't know, maybe it's just St. Louis. I don't know. Where the hell was the security at? What was they at? Reading on. It says approximately 5 minutes into the school and at onlookers. He was shooting at people. And then he entered the school building unobstructed through an unlocked side entrance door. Y'all hear that? Nobody messed with him, and it was an unlocked door at the school just waiting for him. How convenient. I guess it makes sense now when I was hearing reports about a lady who beat the cops there because one of her kids called, and she got her kids up out of there. Now it makes sense. He went into a classroom and began to kill. How police responded to this is not clear. No stuff. But it is obvious that how law enforcement handled this should have been better. And without fully transparent top-to-bottom review with accountability for mistakes, Texas law enforcement is not going to get better at this. There will be other school shootings and shootings at places of worship, movie theaters, and grocery stores. There will be more families with children murdered. More communities like Uvalde will be ripped apart. Will the elected officials of Texas engage with the public to discuss improving active shooter response, or will there be cover-ups and spinning to protect a pro-gun agenda? Yes, of course it is, because I was listening to NPR. They said, and I may be wrong, it was either a month or a week before the shooting happened at Uvalde that they had just engaged the shooting response training. You can't make this up. You can't make this up. On this Texas Matters, an interview with State Senator Roland Gutierrez, a Democrat who represents Senate District 19, an area west of San Antonio, including Uvalde. When there is a mass shooting like at Robb Elementary School, the El Paso Walmart, or the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, reporters show up to document and to tell the story. The satellite trucks arrive along with lots and lots of reporters. You will see the national news anchors doing their broadcast from the parking lot near the crime scene, and the local residents are reasonable, quickly become annoyed by this instruction during their time of utter grief. Relentless reporters with cameras and microphones showing up on the doorstep, stepping in their flower beds while asking probing questions about the worst day of their life. It doesn't take long before everyone in the town wants the news media to go away so they can get on with whatever life will be after the massacre. In Uvalde, the national media has actually been there longer than normal, even for a mass shooting of this scale. Typically, the major networks would have moved on to the next national tragic event, but in Uvalde, the story has continued to develop. It isn't just about that horrible shooting. There are now important questions about how the police responded. And now there is what appears to be a cover-up about that failed police response. Officials won't answer questions about why bad decisions were made. The reporters are still in Uvalde to hold the powerful accountable. So Dan Solomon is a writer for Texas Monthly. His latest article is "Why Does the Official Story of Uvalde School Killings Keep Changing?" So y'all can get this article on NPR, Texas Public Radio, which is an affiliate of NPR. All right. So y'all see the cover-up going on by what? By the same people you trying to go run to the polls and vote for, man. By the same people. Now I'm going to read this. This is Daniel chapter 8, verse 25. And through his policy. So I'm not going to break this whole chapter down, but when you read Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 8, it's talking about four kingdoms. Excuse me, the first kingdom being the Babylonians, the second kingdom being the Persian Mede Empire, the third kingdom being the Greek Empire, the fourth kingdom being the Romans, and the latter end of the Greco-Roman Empire, which is America, that last and final kingdom that the Most High said he's going to destroy. But he says this about the fourth kingdom. He says, and through his policy, so through American policy, through all their little laws and their little loopholes, which we just read in that article. Also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hands. What is craft? Craftiness, skillfulness. They can wiggle their way out of anything. They can sweep things up under the rug, like they're having an internal private investigation now, to where the public is not going to even be privy to the information that comes out in the investigation. Because why? Trying to hide things. This is the hypocrisy of this place that you're still trying to stay in. This is the hypocrisy of this place. You're still trying to vote for people. What is wrong with you people, man? I'm talking to you Israelites and want to call people insensitive or cold-hearted. You insensitive and cold-hearted because you ain't following the Bible. You're simple as hell. Like the scripture says, how long will you simple ones love simplicity? How long are you going to be simple and just ran away with your damn emotions? Don't you understand that's what they want you to do? This is all part of an agenda, y'all. They're going to pretty soon take away what? The supposed right to bear arms in this country. So when they come for martial law, they won't be met with much resistance. Y'all don't think, I guess y'all think this is, it's a coincidence that these mass shootings are happening back to back to back to back to back to back. I'm telling you, man, it's like I said, DJ Khaled, another one. Every time you turn around, this is not by coincidence. This is by design. I'm going to prove it. Let me jump a little ahead of myself. Actually, I'm not jumping ahead of myself. Here we go. The hypocrisy of America. Let me get this other article, y'all. Y'all really gonna like this one. So this one comes out of, where is this? I don't know the site. Michigan Youth Violence Prevention Center. Listen to this. Do video games influence violent behavior? This is an article from August 24th of 2011. Studies support a link between violent video games and aggressive behavior. Oh, what? Let me read this again. Studies. So they study this. And it's crazy because America really don't do a lot of studies on things. But it says studies support a link between violent video games and aggressive behavior. So there's a link. That damn Grand Theft Auto, because when I read the article we just read about the cover-up of Uvalde, when they said that this dude shot his grandmama and then took a truck and drove it in the ditch near the school, I immediately thought about damn Grand Theft Auto. Because you remember Grand Theft Auto, you driving something, you crash it, you get out with the gun, start shooting, and you find you jump into another car and drive away, right? That's what it sounded like to me. But now it makes sense. Now it makes sense. It says researchers have reported experimental evidence linking violent video games to more aggressive behavior, particularly as it relates to children who are at more sensitive stages in their socialization. Did y'all hear that? And who are the video games marketed to? Children. And you know what? I was telling Mashaba that too, man, before I even came across this article. When I heard that the young dude did this, I immediately thought of the movie Manchurian Candidate. Y'all better go back and watch it. Manchurian Candidate was based off a true story about how the CIA conducted mind-altering or mind-control experiments on their own people. Based on a true story, y'all, the program was called MK Ultra. mind control. They were experimenting also with LSD and other hallucinating drugs. They were trying to see how they could control people's minds. There was another documentary did called The Monarch Butterfly, where they dabbled into all those child stars being programmed, like Britney Spears and who else is on there? Christina Aguilera, Justin Timberlake. Who else? All those child actors, those Disney kids. They went into that. You remember when Kanye had his breakdown? What did he say? He had to go back to the farm or something, back to get reprogrammed or whatever? This is real, y'all. Yeah, Amy Winehouse said she wasn't going back. And remember, she committed suicide. So why y'all thinking, oh, it's a conspiracy. Oh, things are really not like that. And the people don't worship the devil. Man, this is the greatest country ever. Y'all stupid. I don't know. I don't think this country would do this to its own people, to its own citizens. We're all Americans. Y'all are some idiots. Y'all better go and just do a little bit of research. There was a documentary that Alex Jones put out years ago. I know he has a bad name right now, but the information is on point. The video, you probably find it on YouTube. It's called Beyond Treason. Treason. Beyond Treason is the name of it. But it goes on, it goes over how the U.S. government was experimenting with gases and bombs on their own soldiers. You don't think they would, if they would do that to their own soldiers, what the hell do you think they do to ordinary average citizens? Come on, y'all. What do you think that they've been doing to our children with what they call television programming? It's called that for a reason. You think it's called that because they came up with a program and they put it on television for you to watch? No, they're actually programming you. Tell me who wasn't programmed by the Cosbys. I watched it. I was a Cosby kid. I wanted my dad to be a doctor and my mom to be a lawyer and for us to have wealth. Who wasn't programmed by that? Who didn't want, damn, Cliff Huxtable, the rapist, to be their father? Come on, y'all. They've been programming us. Why the hell you think, and they still conduct these studies even to this day, little black and brown kids reach for the white baby doll before they reach for the brown one. They say the brown one is the bad doll. They've been programming us. You don't think they would do it in damn video games? Anyway, back to the article. It says, these effects have been found to be particularly profound in the case of child-initiated virtual violence. Ooh. These effects have been found to be particularly profound in the case of child-initiated virtual violence. So what they're saying is these video games are influencing children's violent behavior. I'm a witness to this. This is why my children only play the video game on the weekend now, y'all. They used to play it every day. I ain't going to lie. I'm a bad parent. I'm trying to be better. But now they just play it on the weekend. And you know why I stopped them from playing it all the time during the week? Because they was fighting over the game. And I noticed their behavior became very violent towards their siblings. To where they was fighting, I mean, literally fighting and shoving each other over joysticks. I mean, just being hateful to each other. I understand the world we live in. I'm practical. I played video games when I was younger, but I'm trying to expose them to less and less of that. Hell, now I'm battling with the TV. Anyway, reading on this article, it says, in their book, Violent Video Game Effects on Children and Adolescents, I got to get this book, Anderson Gentile and Buckley provided an in-depth analysis of three recent studies they conducted comparing the effects of interactive video games versus passive television and movies, media violence on aggression and violence. In one study, 9 to 12-year-olds and 354 college students were randomly assigned to play either a violent or nonviolent video game. The participants subsequently played another computer game in which they set punishment levels to be delivered to another person participating in the study. So what they had was they had penalties for people. And let me see. It says they were not actually administered. But the punishments that they had set people for whatever reason were violent. It says information was also gathered on each participant's recent history of violence, behavior, habitual video game, television and movie habits, and several other control variables. The authors reported their main findings, particularly who played one of the violent video games would choose to punish their opponents with significantly more high-nose blasts than those who played the nonviolent games. Habitual exposure to violent media was associated with high levels of recent violent behavior. Duh. This is programming at its finest, y'all. I hope y'all are listening. Interactive forms of media violence were more seriously related to violent behavior than exposed to non-interactive media violence. And I bet if they go back and look at this young man's history of violence, they're going to find it. Find out he played video games, or he looked at violent movies, or he was on YouTube looking at people shoot guns, put guns together. There's some violence in his history. Guaranteed, man. It don't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. All right. It says the second study was a cross-sectional collaborational study of media habits, aggression-related individual differences, variables, and aggressive behaviors on an adolescent population. High school students completed surveys about their violent TV, movie, and video game exposure, attitudes towards violence, and perceived norms about violent behavior and personality traits. After satisfactorily controlling for sex, total screen time, and aggressive beliefs and attitudes, the authors found that playing violent video games, physiological aggressive behavior and violent behavior in the real world in a long-term context. Y'all see this? Do y'all see this? They have a saying, life imitates art or vice versa. These children, remember, their mind is so impressionable and so underdeveloped, they can't differentiate what's real and what's not real. I would tell my children all the time when we're watching movies, video games, YouTube, or whatever, that ain't real, y'all. That's a movie. That's not real. We have to, because their minds get caught up and they think, man, this is real. I mean, think about us when we were children and how we would have a movie or whatever in our mind, and we'd be going around the house trying to live that movie, trying to be just like that movie or that cartoon or whatever it was we watched on TV. They're the same way. Their minds are very impressionable, y'all. That's why the scripture says this. Let me get it. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, man. I know y'all probably get tired of hearing me say it because I've been bringing this out all the time. Just roll off your back, out your ear. You just don't do nothing. But we need to really take this scripture to heart. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way which he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Our children are in training right now. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, you're training your kid. You can either train your kid to live a godly, righteous life, or you can train your child, your kid, to live a wicked life. It's your choice. What's the old saying? Cry now or laugh now, cry later. You can be their friend right now and laugh, jokey with them. But guess what you're going to be doing later when they grow older and they ain't kids no more? You're going to be crying when they start doing drugs. You're going to be crying when they bring the same sex home, talking about they in love. You're going to be crying when you have to keep going arguing back and forth because your daughter won't put no clothes on and she just want to keep showing her ass to the whole world or her cleavage, that she's learned this horrible example from her mother who called herself an Israelite. You can laugh now trying to be their friend, but you will definitely cry later. Those are facts, y'all. So they're programming our children. So and their programming is relentless, it's hard, and it's consistent. So our programming has to be relentless, hard, and consistent. I hope y'all are understanding this. But there are some of y'all out there that y'all didn't actually drink the damn Kool-Aid. And y'all think that America, the United States of America, the U.S. is a great place to be. You don't want to leave. Paul had this same conversation with the Israelites of Galatia in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians. I could easily replace this for oh, foolish Americans. Now, keep in mind, he was talking to Israelites. Remember, Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 64 said that the Most High was going to scatter us throughout the four corners, y'all. That means all over the globe. And I did a class covering this again about the Gentiles. Don't get caught up in the terminologies in the New Testament. You better read distinctly, and you better know the history of the Bible before you say, see, it's talking about other nations. No, it's not. Paul, exclusively, all his letters, all his epistles to Israelites, point blank, period, that can be proven 1,000 times over. So when he says, oh, foolish Galatians, he's talking to Israelites. I'm talking to y'all right now. Oh, foolish Americans, who have bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? What? That you should not obey the truth. So this is the definition for bewitched. Listen to this, y'all. Bewitched, controlled, or affected by, or as by magical spell. Influence. So what are the video games doing to our children? It's bewitching them, y'all. It's putting them under control or a spell. What are those video games or the violent movies or the music or YouTube or whatever do to that dude that kill all the people in Uvalde? It bewitched them. It put them up under a spell. Hope everybody's understanding this, man. And I remember Michelle, and I asked Michelle, I said, the class he did on Uvalde, the brother was very diplomatic in the way he did it because he let all the listeners know that his class was going to be very offensive. And I asked him, I said, Michelle, this is the magical question. After you made that statement, how many people disconnected? He said, a lot. It reminded me of the parable of the sower, y'all. I think it's Matthew chapter 13. Remember what Christ said, Yahushua said. He said, let me get it. I don't want to butcher it. And I know I'm jumping. I'm going to get back to the point. I promise. I got to get this going. Here we go. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 20. Now, he gave the parable of the sower, but now he's coming back giving the understanding. That's the part I'm in now. Verse 20. It says, but he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that hear the word and would anon with joy receive it. Yet had he not root in himself. So those Israelites that was hanging up and getting caught up in their feelings, y'all ain't have no root. The Bible's not your foundation. Your emotions are still your foundation. He says, but do it for a while. So you'll hang around for a little bit. But listen to this. For when tribulation or persecution arises, tribulation or persecution, because of the word. So why is the tribulation or the persecution going to come? Because of the word of God. It says, by and by, he is offended. So what were they offended by? It wasn't you, Mashallah, but you know this. They were offended by the word of God. They were offended by the words of Yahusha, Jesus Christ, who they say is their Savior, but they don't even want to listen to him. They're offended by his own words. You got the audacity to call yourself a follower of Christ. The audacity to call yourself a Christian. The audacity to call yourself a God-fearing person. When you're offended by the very same words you say you believe in, you're offended. Christ said countless times all throughout the scriptures when he gave those parables, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. That's why he spoke in parables. Whatever you got from it, you got. But you had to really put some work in and be consistent and earnest about your learning for Christ to give you the understanding which he gave to the disciples. But look what they gave up. They gave up, first and foremost, their way of thinking. That's the same thing we all have to give up if we want to be accepted by the Most High. So let's go back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, O foolish Galatians, or O foolish Americans, who have bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? And what is the truth? Let's get it. St. John chapter 17, verse 17. And it reads, sanctify them. Sanctify means to clean up, man. Wash. You got to wash your dirty little mind. It's full of your emotions and your baggage. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What is the truth? Is this your emotions? Is it what your big mama or your thea taught you? No. The truth is the word of God, man. So let's read Galatians again. Oh, fools, Galatians. Who have bewitched you, or oh, foolish Americans, who have bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, which is the word of God, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth. So Yahusha, or Jesus Christ, has been set forth right before our eyes by way of the scriptures. It says, crucified among you. Let's not forget who killed Christ. We did that. Our people did that, and we said, let his blood be on us and our children. We were bold and boastful about it. We did that. Why did we kill Christ? Because Christ was telling us the truth to our face about how much of a hypocrite or hypocrites we were and are. That's why a lot of people don't like reading the Bible. Or they only want to read the nice joy, and peace verses, precepts. They don't want to hear how they're wicked as hell. They don't want to hear how they're off. They don't want to hear how they're anti-Christ. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear no bad stuff. They just want to be happy, happy, joy. Willy Wonka Jesus. That's what I'm going to call it. Willy Wonka Jesus. Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory, right? Everybody likes chocolate. Everybody's happy when they eat chocolate and candy. And that's what people want when they read the Bible. They want to just be happy about Jesus. Yeah. Happy. It says, oh, foolish Americans, or Galatians, really Americans, who have bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Once again, the word bewitched means controlled or affected by or as if by a magic. Paul said, who's influenced you to think this way? Who's influenced you to be so damn emotional? The same hypocrites that you believe in, who you keep running to the polls to vote for, there's probably some Israelites that still be voting too. There's probably Israelites still going to church. I bet it is. Listen to this, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduces them. Because we've been really seduced by the American dream. We've been seduced. We've been here so long, man. I guess we got that spirit on where you can't beat them. You might as well join them. We've been seduced now. The word seduce means to persuade, to disobedience, or disloyalty. Let me read this definition one more again. Seduce. To persuade, to disobedience. We've been persuaded to be disobedient to the Most High, to the Heavenly Father. We've been persuaded to be disloyal to the Most High, to the Heavenly Father. We've been persuaded to do this. How we've been persuaded? Because they tell us what? Oh, only God can judge you. God loves you no matter what. That right there then got a lot of people effed up. God loves you no matter what. Your damn parents don't love you no matter what. A good parent don't. If you run around here committing carjackings and murders and robbery, you shooting people, you ain't going to be proud of your damn son and your daughter for doing that. That's damn disgraceful. You hear about your kid that shot somebody? That's disgraceful as hell. You tell me, oh, I love you so much. I love you no matter what. Even though you killed them people, even though you shot at somebody and wounded them, I just love you so much. You're my heart. You're mi corazón. Where they do that at? What world are you living in? That's madness, man. God loves you no matter what. I did a whole class on how love is transactional, and it is. You love people because they're good to you and the things that they do for you and vice versa. If they stop doing those things, you don't love them no more. So how the hell is it that God loves you no matter what? Stop that nonsense. He tells us in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, he said, come now, let us reason. He said, even though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. He says, if you be willing and obedient, that's the catch. Yeah, I'm going to wipe the slate clean. I'm going to wipe it clean. But you guess what you got to do? You got to be obedient now. You got to be willing to be obedient. Come on, God loves you no matter what. Man, get that nonsense out your mind. Think not. Like the scripture says, think not. Seduce, definition number two, to lead astray, usually by persuading. What does it mean to seduce? To lead astray, usually by persuading. This place has persuaded us to go further and further away from the Most High. Talking about love is love. You love who you love. You can be who you want to be on paper, whatever acronym that you decide. That ain't what the Bible say. The Bible calls it an abomination. Ah, man, I can hit your chick, you hit mine. The Bible calls it adultery. Now it's okay. Niggas making songs about it now. That makes you more of a man? No, nigga, that makes you a low-down, dirty nigga that I would never have any of my women around you, my daughter for that matter, any of my daughters. But this society, big ups that stuff. It makes it acceptable. Hell, they even brag about it. You like wear it as a badge of honor. Proverbs 12:26. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. Come on, y'all. Let me jump up to Galatians again, chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish American, who have bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Let's get St. John chapter 8 and verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is going to make you free from what? From getting seduced. That's what it's going to free you up from not being persuaded to be disobedient or disloyal to the Most High. The truth is going to do what? It's going to free you up from not being led astray or persuaded to go the opposite way of the Most High. That's what the truth of the Bible does. The Bible is the truth. That's what it's going to do. When it says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, now you're freed up from having to fit in people's box of their assumption of what they think you should be, the way they think you should act, the way they're programming you and telling you what to think. How somebody else going to tell you what to think? That's seduction. They're persuading you to think like them. I hope we understand in this, man. You know what the truth the Bible does? It frees you up from your emotions. It says, oh, wait a minute. Let me take my emotions out of this for a minute. Let's look at the bigger picture. Let's look at what's happening behind the scenes. It's deeper than this. Let's find the wisdom in this. That's what the Bible makes you do if you apply it, if you believe in it. The only way you're going to apply it is if you believe in it. If you know it works, because you believe in it. Here, Romans chapter 6, verse 18. Romans chapter 7, verse 18, and it reads, but I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. What is Paul saying? He's talking about himself, but this is the case with all of us. Our flesh is not good. Our flesh is going to have us caught up in our emotions. Our flesh is going to have us throw all scriptures out of our mind. Now it's just about how I feel. The hell with the Bible. I ain't trying to hear the scriptures that you pull in. Get out of my face. I'm just going to run my damn mouth right now. Because that's how I feel. That's what your flesh wants you to do. Read again, Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. This is Paul speaking, who wrote pretty much all of the New Testament. He was a bad brother. But he's saying, in his flesh dwelleth no good thing. So how much more in ours? He says, for to will is present with me, meaning it's present with me to do the right thing. It says, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. What is Paul talking about? Meaning, if you're just leaning to your understanding and the way you see things, the way you view things, you're not going to find what's good. You ain't going to find it. But where you are going to find what's good or the right way to behave to a situation is in the Bible. It's in the scriptures. This is why he said this in the same chapter, Romans 7, verse 12. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. I hope everybody's seeing that. He said, the law is holy, the commandment's holy, just and good. But he's letting us know that, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. The words of the Most High is going to always supersede the way you feel. It's going to always trump the way you feel. Let's get Psalm chapter 35. No, it's 34, I think. Come on, man. Hold on, y'all. I'm sorry, I ain't the right scripture. I'm trying to find it. How much time I got? So minutes. Hold on, y'all. Give me a second. I need to find the scripture. I'm still here, y'all. I'm looking for a scripture. Psalms 33:4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. It says the word of the Lord is right, not my emotions. It says his works are done in truth. My works ain't done in truth. My works is done deceitfully. My mind is deceitful, like it tells you in Jeremiah 17:10. It says the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. We don't understand that, though. But we need to when we're caught up in our emotions, when we're caught up in the caught-up of what's going on around us. Because y'all got to understand this, man. And I'm going to get to a little bit of this. I guess I could try to finish this tomorrow. I got to see, man. Because I'm definitely coming back tomorrow morning, y'all, with Talking Pop Tuesdays. So let me get this. Let's go to Habakkuk or Becca, chapter 2 and 3, verse 12. It says, woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and established a city by iniquity. So these same people that's pulling on your heartstrings with their hypocritical selves, they've established America. How was America established, y'all? With blood. Come on, the slaughter of, what was it, 77 billion Native Americans? Y'all don't believe me, man? Go get the book, Open Veins of Latin America. It talks about the slaughter. Go get the book, Lies My Teacher Told, and see how many of the natives that there was killed off for sport. Every place they've been, the colonizers, Australia. How are you the Australian now and not the indigenous people of that country? Why is there a British Virgin Islands? British Virgin Islands? Because they colonialized that. And then there's the U.S. Virgin Islands colonialized. Come on, man. Y'all don't see this? how did they colonialize all these places? It ain't like they just walked in and the people laid down and said, y'all can have our natural resources and y'all can take advantage of our country. They didn't say that. They fought and they killed people for it. Puerto Rico, the rich port, you think the indigenous people of the island just laid down and let them people have whatever they wanted? The colonizers? No, they came in and they took it. Everywhere they've been, they built places with blood, including America. So why are you shocked when you see that violence is happening in the place that they established on violence? Stop, man. This whole society is violent. They put on the violent, every movie's violent, damn near. If it ain't violent, it's got some sex in it or some abnormal sex. This is the place we live in, man. I ain't even planning on getting this, but I got to get it. I don't know if Mashaba got this, but I'm going to get it anyway. Micah 2 and 10, it says, rise and depart, for this is not your rest. To mentally come out of this place, man, our mind shouldn't be resting in this place. This place is damn polluted, y'all. I don't know if y'all really understand that. We're supposed to hate this place, not be trying to live here forever. Who wants to be here forever? Who wants to keep hearing about more damn shootings? Who wants to keep hearing about the letter people all over the place? No, I know I don't. Look, y'all, that was the 60-minute mark or whatever. That's my time. I may continue this tomorrow morning. I don't know yet. But thank everybody for tuning in. The Waterman Shopper for the broadcast. Hooking up the broadcast, brother. And I'll see y'all tomorrow, man. Lord willing. Shalom, Israel.